Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Logbook podcast, where we uncover the strategies and insights driving extraordinary business growth. Today, we're joined by Ryan Stoltzfus, founder of the Job Hacker Network, a specialized career development firm helping tech leaders discover their true market value and land positions that align with their strength through providing networking strategies and processes. Ryan, it's absolutely great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thanks. Great to be here. And thanks for the great introduction.
Perfect. Well, I think probably the first thing that we should start diving into is a bit of background around like yourself, you launching your company. You and I have obviously worked together, so I obviously know like how you came to launching the company, but a lot of people are probably a bit unfamiliar with your background there.
Sure. Yeah, my background is in human resources, and I had the opportunity to see all angles of the job search process from both sides of the table. But ultimately wanted to help individuals to sell themselves more effectively and saw just a huge gap inside of corporate America and, you know, for individuals trying to move up the corporate ladder inside of their company. I had the opportunity to lead ADP's webinar-based teaching program for career development for about 5 years across the 60,000 person company and see the inside of it. But there's also a huge gap when individuals are trying to position themselves for external advancement or the external job search. And so that's what I wanted to tackle.
And I find that interesting because obviously like we focus on helping business leaders, companies with like their branding, but there's always like this disconnect that people do not think about that even if you're like an employee, you're within like a major enterprise corporation, you still have a branding. And it can be utilized to propulse like your career like very heavily. So I think that's really like an interesting one. And you've obviously had like that HR background. You've worked in like a lot of like these major corporations. You've led like some of these programs. You've developed them, et cetera. And you somewhat got an understanding that you could land jobs like pretty easily if you had like the right strategy, the right background and approach. But like we spoke like a few months back, maybe even like a year ago around like how you got started into this. And I thought that was like really interesting because you never even planned to be an entrepreneur in the first place. It just somewhat fell onto like your lap in a way, right?
No, I always saw myself as being risk averse and I saw entrepreneur highly risky. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. So I never thought of myself as an entrepreneur. My father was in the same role at NASA for 35 years. Like that's what you grew up with, right? I ultimately just saw a problem I had to fix. And I think that that's what really stuck for me from an entrepreneurship perspective is somebody described it to me as an individual who sees a problem and then fixes it. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm an entrepreneur from that perspective. And it really, the gap that people have in terms of, as you were kind of referring to, seeing themselves as a product.
Yeah.
And when an individual says, okay, I get it. I'm a product. And if I want to advance at the clip, and it's usually not for more money, it's usually to grow impact. If I want to be able to grow my impact, then I need to take some purposeful ownership of my brand marketing. And that's something that has to click for people to realize, okay, I'm a product. I need to sell myself effectively. Well, that takes diving in and
the
really
mindset,
understanding. Your strengths, stories, value proposition, that's part of the path that I take people through so that then they can strike intrigue in the right places and get to the right conversations.
Yes. So there's like a big like mindset shift around like providing like somewhat positioning yourself, like what kind of value you can bring to like a company. And it goes back to like the branding, your strength, and really positioning yourself like effectively in a way. And I think like one of the things I would be interesting in is you obviously do work with a lot of like tech leaders, directors, people in some of like leadership position in like a way. And oftentimes, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems that they find some sort of like limitation as far as like how they can get to that next level. They feel that sometimes they're just here, they're not sure what to do. They feel they've reached like their peak when sometimes that may be the complete opposite. And there's like much more steps to like go through. What would you say is like some of these challenges or like common things that you see when working with these people that you're like, that they just come to you like, hey, I have no idea how to get to that next level. Like I feel there is more, I want to do more, but I'm just not sure how to do it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that the realization They need to own their personal brand positioning is critical. Jeff Bezos has the quote, "Your brand is what people say about you while you're not in the room." I think a lot of there's something big left out of that. Yes, it's what people say about you while you're not in the room, but I think the second part of that sentence, if I could, modify the Bezos quote, is, "But you can control that." You can control what people say about you while you're not in the room, but it takes purposeful ownership. And to be able to get to that place of purposeful ownership takes process and steps. Most people don't think of them, take an ownership stake in their career in that way. And ultimately, it comes to clarity, being able to say, this is what I do, this is what I solve to this end. But then there's the other aspect of getting in front and getting a line of sight to the people to whom it matters. The individuals that hold the purse strings inside of your company, the P&L owners, the budgetary owners, the people who could play you like you're a piece on a chessboard, because that's ultimately what they need to be able to do. They have to be able to identify the pieces and see the difference between a queen and a rook, because they move differently. And that identifiable, like being able to identify you as a piece that they can move, is really what enables individuals to make notches up in their internal career.
Yeah, so
That
it's some
line
of
of
like,
sight and identifiability. Yeah.
so it's being able to like express like your value in a way that they want to take you from the pawn to become like a queen, like get across like that chessboard basically, where a
Yeah.
lot of people are not able to convey that like effectively, if I'm getting that correctly.
Yeah, to be able to say, this is who I serve to this end. Like, this is what I produce. I take an engineering organization from this to that through this life cycle. This is what I do with product. I take it from here to here. And most individuals are much more broad in how they speak about their career. They can do a lot of things. Okay, that's not going to work. What are you known for? What is it that a leader would say, oh, Ryan is our guy for that? And you have to have that identifiability for you to be able to then navigate up the corporate ladder these days. In the world of marketing as a whole, you know this, there's just so much noise. There's so much noise. And inside of a company, 15 years ago, the line of sight was a physical line of sight. A leader only saw the people that were right in front of them in their physical sight. Well, now, in this era, we see people across the globe, and it's no different whether they're in our office or whether they're in India. The line of sight can be just the same, and so the competition is higher, and so identifiability is so much more important.
And like when we speak about like being able to be identified as like a value, like being able to provide value for a company, how would you like somewhat, I guess, provide guidance to those people trying to be able to be identified like really easily? Because as you mentioned, a lot of people, it's going to be broad. This is my experience. This is what I do. When in fact, to make it really easy for like leadership or people who want to move you on like the chessboard, they have to really understand the value that you provide on a deeper level. And a lot of people struggle to really be able to convey that effectively.
From a process level, I walk people through strengths, stories, and value proposition because I think that it's really important for somebody to dig to really dig into strengths, which is the activities that fuel and engage us. Because if we just think about delivery and stories and what I did really well, sometimes we might even sell ourselves towards the wrong thing. When you're networking with somebody and you're saying, this is who I am, this is what I do, you should be able to say, and this is what I love, this is how I show up at my best. Because that should be a very purposeful exercise. And for me, I was a certified strengths-based coach before I started into this journey. From that perspective, I knew the value of moving towards the work that fueled and fed me. And so, for an individual to be able to build out their value proposition, it should be about the work, the activities that fuels and engages them, and then tell those stories where you were in that zone, and then build into a value proposition that will keep you in that zone. Ultimately, when a person, a leader is networking, they have the ability to create a perfect job by being identifiable, by being able to describe themselves, by having clarity about who they are and giving somebody else clarity about who they are and what they affect. That's where jobs get built. And so, with that process of being able to purposefully do that towards the work you actually love, that's how you find your dream job, right? The work you love with the impact that you desire to have, and then the money comes with that. The money should be a secondary thought. You should not drive towards money. I actually don't help, like to help people who drive towards money, but driving towards impact and purpose from that perspective is much more sustainable.
And I find that like really interesting because from like my experience, as far as I can tell, you're obviously much more familiar with the tech space as a whole. But over like the past like few years with like remote work, you've seen like a lot of people just trying to get a position, get as much money as you can, move on to the next one, move on to the next one. And I feel a lot of these people are not taking the approach of wanting to do something purposeful that they actually like. They see themselves like doing long term. And I feel that's something that's obviously missing. If you're just going to keep moving on, you're not going to really have fulfillment with like what you're doing, which I
Yeah,
feel.
I think the key there, Zach, is when an individual is in a role, let's say for 2 years, it can be a purposeful part of their story
That's fair.
if they think about finishing things, building out full stories, full deliveries, the situations, the actions, all the way through to the result. And then, because I've seen some great career profiles where an individual has been 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, and then made moves. But each time they were there, they finished the work they went in there to do. So they're not job hopping. They're just going to the next problem because they fixed the problem over here. Whereas another person who was not going full, fully fixing the problem is a job hopper because they were just in that role until it got tough.
I
And
like
then,
the distinction that you made, because like my first thought was just job hopping, but the way that you framed is like finishing, providing the value, and then moving on to like, because maybe you've reached your cap. You feel that you've done everything that you could to provide as much value, and you want to move to like the next option that you can provide as much value for. And I think that's interesting.
It's
And
all about completing the work. Getting full circle, full cycle through whatever that deployment was, whatever that delivery was. And then the way that we think about job hopping now is I've been in HR for 20 years. What we used to look at it as is, hey, they've been in that job for less than 4 years. It doesn't matter what they've done. It's too short. That's not the world we live in anymore.
It's
We live in
changed.
a different world. And in so many ways, the world has changed, in the last many, many iterations over the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, so like the approach that like leadership HR might take as far as like hiring someone is probably going to be more oriented towards what did they actually accomplish, what kind of value they provide to that organization
You'd hope
versus.
so. You'd hope
Yeah, I
so.
hope so.
Yeah,
That's fair.
good
Good
leaders do
companies,
that.
yeah.
I'm a little biased towards good HR.
No
Oftentimes,
worries.
you don't have good HR leaders, but yes, good leaders look at it from that perspective. And then when we're getting kind of dialing back and saying, okay, now how do we get a line of sight to those good leaders? Well, we have to strike intrigue with them and ultimately be able to show that person, I can solve pain in your world. And that's the start of effective networking outreach. It's about pain and solution and intrigue.
And I feel like, I mean, obviously the people coming to you have that problem. Like a lot of people struggle like selling themselves, providing that value, being a really easy to see what kind of value they can bring to like an organization. When
For
you
sure.
like work with people, what kind of approach do you take to actually doing so? I know obviously strength-based assessment is going to be one of the first components to like figure that out. But once you go beyond that to figure out exactly like what their strengths are, where they want to go, now it's more like how do they portray themselves? How do they reach out to people? How do they make like those good connections? I'd love to hear like a bit about like your approach there.
So for me, it's about strong foundation before we ever get to the networking phase and executing. We've got to build up a really strong foundation. And for that, we start off with strengths, then you go into stories, building out and articulating the times when you delivered impact connected to your strengths. From there, we can go to simple. And simple is usually hard, right? So the simplest component in terms of understanding you is your value proposition. This is who I am. This is who I serve to this end. My strengths in A and B have led me to these outcomes. And that simple message is hard. So I go strengths, stories, value proposition, and then we go into the branding collateral once you have that North Star and that clarity. Right? It's like, Nike doesn't go out to the market and start selling shoes without knowing exactly who they are. Right? A corporate brand doesn't go out to market and start making commercials. And that's kind of what you can think of your resume almost as if you have a commercial or it's a branding campaign. But you've got to know who you are and who you serve and who your client is before you transition into that branding collateral. And
I
a
love
lot of job
that.
seekers get into that, they get laid off or something of that nature. They get irritated at work and want to go look. And the first thing they do is jump into, oh, I'm going to update my resume. No, not yet. Not yet. We need clarity. We need to know what we're accomplishing before we just dive into the project.
Yeah, and I love like the way that you framed it, like the analogy with like the commercial. I found that's like really interesting. So when you are like a marketing department, you're gonna have to do that market research first, figuring out exactly who you're gonna get in front of, how are you gonna actually appeal to these people. And I feel that's exactly like what you were mentioning. But once we add that foundation, we have the branding component, which obviously like it's a bit it's like a bit of a longer process, like establish, etc. But once you've completed that, you move on somewhat more to like the networking.
Yeah,
And
and then you can fly. Then you can go. But if you didn't do that work before and you jumped into that
it's gonna
aspect,
be a
you would
lot
be stuck in
harder.
the mud the whole time. And one step forward, three steps back. But when we have that clarity, when you know who your client is, when marketing principles are very, very applicable to the job search process. It is a marketing process.
You're marketing
And
yourself.
managing a funnel, working things down through the funnel, and ultimately having conversations. Here's the big miss, though: conversations with hiring leaders. Not conversations with recruiters, conversations with hiring leaders, with the people who are actually creating the roles before they've created the roles. The majority of the world is chasing job postings, things that are already out there. And by that time, it's too little too late. Most of the decisions have already been made. But going after hiring leaders, finding their pain, and drawing forward into solution with your value proposition, that's how we get things created. That's where the magic is. And ultimately, if you want to avoid noise in marketing, right? Noise here in the job search, then you just play on a different playing field. You play a different game.
And
And that would be before the job is posted. That's the different game.
And like another component, I recall like when our team was collaborating with you, journalists, etc., when we were getting articles published, there was like one statistic or like article that we had, which was around like jobs that people wouldn't actually go about like job posting. I think it was maybe 60, 70%, I could be totally off here, of jobs weren't even like posted on like job sites. They would literally just be out there. And then I guess that goes back to just knowing obviously these like leadership position people that actually make like the hiring. And that goes back to like networking, being able to network with the right people in the first place to actually land these opportunities that aren't even there in like the first place. And yet you have like a really strategic approach to like networking. I think you booked what, like 30, what was it, like 30 jobs, like when you were applying
Yeah,
for like
33 in
interviews.
Seattle.
33 job interviews in Seattle.
That was for my own job search process before I got into this realm. When I was moving from, little El Paso, Texas to Seattle, Washington, I networked with that area, that city, and booked 33 job interviews and flew myself down there twice to conduct all those job interviews. But it just comes from that concept of saying, okay, within this organization that I'm thinking about, who would have the capacity, the center of control, or at least the center of influence, but hopefully the center of control over the role that I would most want to have? And for me at that time, it was either director of engineering or VP of engineering. I'm sorry, of human resources, director of human resources or VP of human resources, depending upon the size of the company.
Course.
Okay, who's going to create those roles? A CHRO, potentially a CFO. And then I went as high as the CEO because I'm a little audacious. But then going after, and if it was Amazon and I was going after a director of human resources, then of course I'm not going to go above a VP because of
Jeff.
the size of the company. So it's really understanding whose problems am I going to be solving? Because if I'm saying I solve these problems, I want it to hit hard. And I want that person to be like, wait a second, I want that off my plate. I want to give that to somebody. And here is this person saying, I can take that off your plate.
I
So
like
if it's
that.
not on their plate, they're not going to meet with you. And so that's where understanding there's a layer within an organization, not just one person, a layer within an organization that can create the role you want. When you're chasing after an application, there's a human, one person who posted that application. It's no longer a layer. You're trying to find a human, a needle in a haystack. That's not nearly as effective, but you can go after a layer and say any one of these VPs of HR could create this role for me. So now it's a matter of targeting, messaging, and volume. And that's the networking kind of trifecta. Targeting the right people with the right message at the right volume. And when those three things are working together, then that's when you have harmony, and that's when the meetings will start to flow in with a very consistent, predictable pattern.
And I find that like really interesting because when you look at like career job posting, job hunting, or anything like that, the first thing you're thinking of is just applying to as many jobs as possible. Like I see so often people saying,
Typically,
I've applied to 400 or 500 jobs. I haven't gotten like any single interview. But the approach that you take is like, hey, your job might not even exist yet, but it's about being able to convey
Oh,
the
hopefully it
value.
doesn't. Hopefully it
Hopefully.
doesn't. It's the best case scenario.
So you're able to like the main goal is being able to convey the value that you can bring based on your past experience, but not framing it just as like your resume that you just send out to people. But you want to make it very targeted so the people that you are reaching out to, the decision makers, hiring leaders, you can provide value in a way that it somewhat correlates to things that they might be doing. They don't have the time to do. They don't want to do in the first
Yeah,
place.
the pain on their plate that they want to shed. And they're just looking for somebody that steps in and says, I can own that. That's mine. That's my cup of tea. Not, hey, I've got 50 cups of tea, pick one. No, that's my cup of tea. And in the hiring process, the ultimate thing that we're trying to do is decrease risk. And when you are saying, that's what I do, let me prove it to you. Boom, 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 boom. Here's my stories that prove it. I did it. That's why behavioral-based interviewing is used, because it's about what a person did, not theory. What you did, because that correlates more to what you'll be able to do again in the future. And so it all aligns towards somebody saying, okay, if I bring this guy on, he's got all the proof points. And it's the main thing that he most wants to do. Okay, there's no risk here. And when risk is low, pay is high. So it all really correlates extremely well. We pay for less risk. And so that's, like I said, I hope that people are not driving towards money. Just I would much rather them create a bigger impact. The money comes with it, though. With that clarity comes the higher pay.
Yeah, because you're providing value that they didn't even think about in like the first place. If they have a job posting, they're looking for that pain point, but there's like these other pain points that they don't even think about. They're like, there isn't a job for this when there's clearly someone that has that experience that can provide that value and comes to you like, hey, I can do this. This is what I've done. And somewhat use your experiences as like case studies in a way. I know when we do like outreach, we might mention things we've done for other people, but if you mention your own experience, that's even more relevant and you can show exactly how you will impact the company with your experience there.
Yeah, and everybody wants a niche product. People don't want generic. So, as an example, if you came to me and said, Ryan, we are a marketing company who helps career coaches, that's much like immediately I'm going to pay attention to that much more than a person saying, Ryan, we are a great marketing company that helps entrepreneurs. Okay, I'm still an entrepreneur, but that's still a much broader
Of
space.
course.
It's a much broader space. And so when you're going to an individual saying that's what I do, then it is, it's just so much more punch, there's so much more punch to it.
It's being like really hyper specific as far as the people you target and maximizing like the relevance in a way. And one other thing I think you mentioned, I recall, is that you do like A/B tests like quite a lot to figure out exactly what works. I mean, you've worked with like hundreds of people, so you do have a pretty good sense of what works and like what doesn't work. But look, what kind of approach do you take when you're like A/B testing? Is I'm assuming when you are reaching out to like hiring leaders, is it more so like an approach, hey, would want to get on a call? Is it more so trying to have, I want to say lead magnet because I'm in marketing, but it's not really a lead magnet. Trying to provide some sort of like value up front. Is there like a certain approach that you take towards that, or?
The biggest thing that works is Connecting with the person briefly.
Yeah.
Some people go just, it's all about connection, and people need to solve something, right? We need to get to the point. So
Yeah.
it's connection, like why me, right? You're helping that person say, why me? And what can you do for me? And then what do you want? So what are you asking? How do I take a next step? So why them? Why you? What is important about you to me? And that gets into your value proposition, the pain that you think you can solve for them, that you perceive you can solve for them. And then what do you want? And ultimately it's about getting to a conversation. It is always about a conversation. The moment that somebody says, oh, great, send me your resume, it's done.
That's what I
It's over.
thought.
It's done. No leader is going to look at your resume, not without you present. With you there, seeing you a little bit of connecting the problem. Okay, now they'll look at it, but they're not going to try to dig through a resume and figure it out. That's way too much work. The key is to bring a low barrier to entry to every aspect of your networking process. Just to lower the barrier is make it so easy to help you by your clarity, by your articulation, by your research, by your connection to the perceived pain, by your agility, by your storytelling. Every aspect just really notches down how easy it is to identify and help you. And that's the key to effective networking.
So essentially, if a hiring leader asks for your resume, you basically that's a sign that you probably haven't done your research properly.
It's a sign that they're saying they don't want to talk to you, right? It's an
Exactly.
automatic response. It's a programmed response from an individual who's not going to talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's feedback though. It means you
Yeah,
need to
and
improve.
the probability that they're going to send it to the right person, then that person is going to see it, and now they're supposed to figure it out. Now we're
Maybe
bringing
not.
double neg, double low probability to the situation, and it doesn't yield fruit.
Yeah, I love that.
Conversations is what yields fruits. Conversations with extreme clarity.
And the right person as well, like the right people,
Yeah,
not just
targeting,
targeting is very
messaging, and volume. Yeah,
important. And
absolutely. The targeting has to be on point.
of course, and one of the things that like I saw obviously on your website is a lot of people you end up working with. I know you emphasize having that purposeful like way of like focusing on like your strength, et cetera, and focus on the money second. But you've seen that a lot of people by focusing on that approach will see like higher salary, higher compensation, because you're going more with the approach of providing like value. What would you say, I guess, is somewhat the main thing that's holding like most of the people that you work with, you see from being able to really reach like their true like market value? Because that's what a lot of people
I
struggle to
think
be
it's
able to
two
do.
things. It's twofold. It's not having clarity about the actual problems you solve, and not being able to get to the table with the people who have those problems. And so if that person who owns that chessboard doesn't know that you exist as a potential chess piece, they can't play you. Just they can't. They literally cannot do it. And so even for a person who's very insecure, or for a person who is averse to networking, once they've gone through and realized, holy cow, I'm really, really good at this specific thing. My stories around this are amazing. That just it fuels and empowers them to then go out and say, people need to know about this. Otherwise, I'm not serving them. And the greatest way I can serve them is through my clarity and making it easy for them to potentially play me. And that helps to conquer a lot of hesitancy or lack of confidence. When you are able to say, wow, when it comes to this specific thing, I'm amazing. You then have to tell that story. You get so amped up about that story, and networking becomes a game. It becomes fun.
It's gamified in a way. I love
Yeah,
that.
absolutely.
And like one of the things that I like to ask, like when we wrap things up with the podcast, is if you were to give advice to perhaps like any like leaders, like people in like leadership position, directors trying to get to that next level, but they just do not know why, like how to do it. Is there like any certain step that you would recommend them to take to be able to do so? Apart from obviously
Ooh.
working with you, but.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because you threw me off when you said any specific step. Because my answer to it overall would be, if you want control, you have to have process. When we approach any working project, we get a project manager and we implement process. We go to the person who did it before and say, "Hey, John, how did you do this? How did you implement this system?" And he gives you a process. And so it's more than just one step. It's finding a vetted, proven process in your niche. So as an example, I primarily work with engineering leaders in the tech space. So that's a niche. That's an area where my program is the most effective. And so if you were a project manager, find that person who has that project management experience. Right. One that I see a lot is engineers who want to move to project management. Well, okay, you gotta find somebody who's helped other people accomplish that specific thing. And that process is what is going to yield your best control. The steps, though, are going to be
Yeah,
numerous.
they're gonna vary for like investor
And there's
focus.
going to be,
But I love that because I feel like the way you're framing it, I wouldn't say it's like reverse engineering, but in a way, like you want to find someone that has done exactly what you want to do and learn from them. I mean, that's the
of
best way to do
course.
anything.
Outcome in mind. And then what are those fewest number of steps that are going to drive us towards that outcome? I love the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule. 20% of, in any standard system, 20% of the input creates 80% of the output, usually. So let's focus on that 20% that creates that 80%. In the job search process, the 80% that creates the fluff is applying online. The networking is usually done the least of, but it's what creates a
It's the most valuable.
disproportionate result. Okay, let's focus on that. And it also makes it then so that a person can do a very effective job search with not as much investment of time and energy when they're focusing on the right work. So that's what process leads, is it leads to the fewest actions that are directly correlated to advancement, steady advancement, momentum towards that outcome that we're driving towards.
I love that. Perfect. Well, really appreciate your time, Ryan. If there's like anyone that wants to get in touch with you, wants to get to that next level in their career, what would be like the best way to get in touch with you? I know YouTube is
I
you have a
think,
lot of content out there, but
you can find me, Ryan Stoltzfus, on YouTube, but jobhackersnetwork.com is my website and my company, and you can get to all of my training material and get to all of my social networks and everything directly through jobhackersnetwork.com.
perfect. Well, thank you so much, Ryan.